This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. One of the longest-serving journalists in the Capitol Press Corps is retiring. John Lindstrom, the publisher of Gongwer News Service, joins us now. Hi there, John.
How are you, Lester?
So how long have you been reporting events in the great state of Michigan?
In all its various forms, getting on close to 50 years.
Wow.
But, from college on up.
I understand you started working with Gongwer in 1977. That was the first time around, as mm-hmm. I understand it. What was the Lansing Press Corps like back then?
A lot bigger. It's a function of what's happened in the industry as a whole. The Free Press had 3-4 people. The News had 3-4 people. Booth Newspapers, which is now M Live, had at the time, I think, 6-7, and eventually went up to almost 15. WJR had a reporter up here all times, Tim Jones. All the Lansing stations had a reporter here present. Channel 4 out of Detroit had Tom Green. He was here all the time, and the CBS and ABC affiliates would move people up here frequently. There was us. There was our competitor in a nascent form. They were on average about 45, close to 50 people.
How many today?
In terms of total press corps presence, we are down to maybe 15. I mean, the Associated Press, for example, where my wife used to be a reporter, they had 5 reporters and a photographer. The UPI had 3 reporters and a photographer. UPI doesn't have a bureau here anymore, and AP is down to 1. So that just demonstrates how much the changes, and especially the economic changes to the industry, have devastated what's being covered here.
Well, I did a little checking on you with a reliable source you just named, your wife, Cynthia Kyle, to see if I could get some good or funny stories about you. And she says, you tell the funny stories, but you're rarely the topic of them. But she did ask me to ask you about the quote board. What was the quote board?
Oh, God, the quote board. Some 40-something years ago. In fact, this is I'm now the guardian of the quote board, which is on the Dead Sea Scrolls are in better shape, actually, than the quote board, because it was typed out on what we used to call Yellow Dog, which was the cheapest paper you could get, and it's all frayed. But the quote board, a couple of reporters, one of them was then Bob Berg, who was later chief of communications for Governor Milliken, were sitting there, and some senator was speaking, and he said something that made absolutely no sense. And so they decided to type it up, and they called it Words to Live By, and they stuck it up on the board. And then it became something that, you know, people back then, before people used talking points and never changed what they were saying, when they just spoke their own minds and said whatever they wanted to say, people would invariably say strange, silly, and dumb things. And we would tack them up and put them up on what was the quote board.
Got an example or two?
Mary Stallings Coleman, who was the first woman elected to the state Supreme Court, was swearing in a fellow named Abe Lincoln. It was Everett Lincoln. He was elected in a special election to the House, and she talked about what an honor it was and how our democracy was a three-way street, which you have to think about that for a moment. There was, I think it was Art Cartwright. Back in the 70s, there was a great deal of concern about the world's ozone section, and he said, how do we know this deodorant is killing our Ozarks? I just remembered one out, and now U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, when she was in the House, said, we know that 90% of the felons in prisons were once children. where the other 10% were, we don't know. She obviously meant to say abused children, but you know that kind of got left out. There was a reporter who had come in from the Wall Street Journal during one of the many recessions, which was the worst recession since the Great Depression, to do a story about what horrid shape we were in. And this is back in the days of typewriters, and he was pounding away at a typewriter in the press section and got up to stretch and have a smoke, which you could do back then, and took a look at the quote board and started laughing, and he started writing all these things down, and the Wall Street Journal did a feature on it. And then all of a sudden, Carson was quoting it on the Tonight Show. In fact, they asked us to send a copy of it to the Tonight Show staff. George Will still occasionally quotes late Senator Harry DeMaso, who said, from now on, I'm watching everything you do with a fine-tooth comb.
You know, you've seen a lot of history in Lansing. You know, one of those significant things to happen is term limits. How have term limits changed governing in Michigan?
Not for the better overall. And it's interesting that now we're starting to see groups of people starting to come together saying, well, if nothing else, we need to change how term limits work. By and large, it's made it very difficult for people to develop bipartisan relationships. People have asked me, what would it take to get legislators, and not just legislators, but members of Congress, to work together better? And I've said, get them drunk. And I'm dead serious about that in many respects. I mean, at one time, when I first started, the legislature met on Monday nights. And that was basically just to make sure that everyone was in town. At that time, it was pretty rare for people to go back to their districts every night. Now, unless you live in the UP, pretty much everyone does. It doesn't matter how far they have to drive every day, they do. But they all had apartments or houses they rented down here, and they would stay. So they get here on Monday nights. The Monday night session was, you know, they do a couple of pro forma bills, get that underway, and then they'd all go out and they get together. And they either go to a bar, they go to somebody's house, and they would just talk about things. And even people that didn't drink, you know, like former Speaker Bill Ryan was probably the most significant legislator in state history, they would get together and they would just talk over issues, and they would talk over procedures, and they would talk over how you do things, and who you talk to learn about stuff, and what kinds of things they should know about. Democrats, Republicans, both did this. It was an incredible learning experience. You can talk to folks who were there during that time. They would talk about just the stuff they got listening to people and learning how they needed to go approach these issues, find out about things. I give you an example. Bill Faust, God love him, former Senate Majority Leader, great guy, was retiring, and sadly died shortly after he did. I asked him, well, if you're a new legislator came in today, what is the one thing you would tell them they absolutely have to do? And he said, read the Constitution. And I said, well, Bill, they swear an oath to the Constitution. Don't they know it? And he said, no, they don't. Most of them never read the Constitution. So if nothing else, I will say to any people who want to be in the legislature or serve in public government, read the Constitution. Read the Constitution of the United States, state of Michigan. Read your city charter, for crying out loud. So you've got to know what the rules are before you can play the game.
What are you going to miss about the job?
Well, there's the camaraderie, of course, that you have working with folks who go through the same kind of nonsense that you do. There's the adrenaline part of it. There's the sitting on top of a big story aspect of it, which I think every one of us in the business understands, that there's no bigger high than when you're working a big story, when you're on top of it. There's just nothing like it. You know, you in some respects become more important than the story itself, because you're the person reporting it, you're the person getting the facts together and putting it out. And that is something that you know, it's just really, really hard to give up. I mean, in many respects, I'm always going to be a reporter. You know, just as a priest is always a priest, a doctor is always a doctor. You're a reporter, you're always a reporter.
What are you going to do with your time now?
Try not to be bored, I guess. I've got some projects. I've got some things. I've got some stories I would like to...
How about you, if you ask Cynthia, she's got some projects for you, too.
Yeah, I know. I keep hearing about that. The decluttering thing, I think it would be easier just to turn the house upside down and over a giant dumpster and be done with it. There's some stories I'd like to pursue, stories that I've had in mind wanting to do for quite some time, some of them. And the problem is that they are going to take an enormous amount of reporting work to get done. And it's the kind of thing where, given the nature of what we cover and how we have to cover it, you can't just turn around to someone and say, okay, take 2-3 months off so that you can pursue this story. So there's a few things that I want to work on, and hopefully if I get them nailed down, hopefully somebody will be interested in them. So
that doesn't sound like retirement. That just sounds like a different job.
So. Well, in many respects, it's the, what I'm doing is I'm stop punching a clock. As publisher, you're not only a reporter, you have to handle the business end of things. And for all its charm, being on deadbeat patrol and having to call up somebody and say, hey, how are you? How's the wife? How are the kids? You ever going to sign that check and send it to me or what? That gets a little old after a while. So it's time now for someone else to take on that task.
John Lindstrom, who's been covering the news of Michigan at the Capitol longer than just about anyone around, he is retiring. Hey, John, I want to offer you a personal thank you. I've visited your office a couple of times just to try to better understand how Lansing worked, and you were always really generous with your time and very helpful. So thank you, sir, and have a great time in retirement.
Thank you so much.